There he is. Sorry. Wait, two songs? Oh.
Praise the Lord, they threw me through for a loop because usually they got two songs. So I thought I had plenty of time to get up here. Praise the Lord. All right. Oh, no problem. No problem whatsoever. Oh, wow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Definitely. For those of you that are on live stream can't hear that, it was a testimony about some trial people are going through right now. So those, could a couple of you, is it okay if we pray with you? Okay, ladies, would you pray for them before we get started? I'm going to pray for the sermon while you are praying for that need. Definitely. All righty. Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we lift up this need before you, Lord, the physical need and the other needs, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, you be with us, what these ladies are going through, Father. You know everything that's going on because you're everywhere. We ask, Lord, that you give them the strength of heart, strength of spirit. Let them know how much you love them and you care very much about them, Lord, and all the things they're going through does matter, that they're not alone. We just are thankful that we had this opportunity to pray with them this morning, Lord, as they're going through what they're going through, that we can be there with them, for them, and lift them up in prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much, Father, for your opportunities. Lord, just let them feel your heart flow over them, Lord, at this moment. And at the same time, Lord, we ask you to be with this next, last and final step of this as we dive into your word, put our heart bare on your altar and see what areas of our life that you want us to yield over to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise you, Father. Amen. Thank you, ladies, for doing that. I appreciate it very much. You know, title of my sermon today is How You Start Something Is Important. Okay? Think about that. If you start a game, a race, a project, a relationship, how you start it actually would determine the level of difficulty in the beginning. And if you're not careful, that will also inevitably be the end before you even get going in it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. God tells us this through Paul. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is, or she, is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what I want to talk about today is, hey, we're all looking for answers, whether you're non-Christian or Christian. And let's be honest, we got junk in our trunk and we drag it along with us. And I also want to talk about what is it that God has that's different. You and I, we have problems. We start out in life thinking everything's going to be grand, don't we? We got all the year in school. You got all these ambitions. You know, some kids in school, they grow up and they start having whatever you want to call it, their school career, whatever they call it these days. And Some of them are thinking about, oh, man, I'm going to get A's. I'm going to be on the honor roll. I'm going to get into this good college and this and that. And then there's other kids that are going to like, you know, they don't, that's just not the aim for them. We're gonna start a gang, or we're going to get this, you know, it's all kinds of dreams. You know, like somehow, I know that when I was a kid, I was thinking somehow I was going to be successful, not acknowledging that, you know, you do have to get good grades to kind of get going in this world. But somehow I thought it was all going to come in place. I'm going to be successful. But then as I become adult and I start adulting, is that what they call it now? Adulting? I was no longer kidding. It'll catch on. But anyway, what I found out was holy cow, I had problems. Things don't go right. My relationships are difficult. Ups, downs. And after trying it my way, I was looking for answers. And I bet you I'm not the only one. So what do we do? Well, some people, they go to Christ and they want to start a new life in Christ. And when we do, you probably did what I did. And that is we had expectations of what? Everything's going to just be great. But then I found out that's not what happens. So I was thinking about that this when I was writing this sermon. So what's going on here? What we end up seeing is that this new life of Christ, in my opinion, is producing a whole lot of weak Christians, seemingly. So I thought about that. I go, seems like most Christians don't succeed, only a few do. So that made me, at one point in my life, I thought, wait a minute, is God a liar? Is he telling the truth when he says he can help you start a new life? He can help you change. He can help you be something different, something new. Be a better me. Leave my old life behind. But that was not happening within me. And when I looked around, because it's not that hard, I didn't see anybody else have. Everybody else was having the same problem I was having. And then I've heard, and if you haven't, you probably will eventually. I've heard some people say, "Well, you know what? God's ways is not any better than the world's." I've heard that. So I thought to myself, "What is going on?" And so I start investigating it. Okay, and I learned some things. And I went to my mentor at that time, my pastor, and I was asking Mike, I said, what is going on? What's going on here? What's going on in me? What's going on around me? Because I had a very negative opinion of the Christian life when I came to this church, first met Mike. And this is some of the things I've learned, and that is what I'm seeing around me, what I did myself, is incomplete journey in this life in Christ. The journeys they're not completed. They're not finished. They kind of stalled, you might say. I see a lot of lies around me, this life in Christ. I was thinking it's not working, but what I begin to realize is I don't think anybody knows if it works, because I see a lot of lives stalled and they just kind of quit the journey, one or the other. That's what I mean by incomplete journey. What I noticed about people around me, myself, is that, you know what? I'm dragging along a lot of junk from my own life. That's why I said I joked around a little bit. I said we got junk in our trunk. I'm talking about trunk of my mind. I'm dragging a whole bunch of junk from my old life into my life in Christ. And when I started looking at my life, I started looking at those around me. What I discovered was, hey, we're skipping steps in Christ. In this journey, we're skipping steps, trying to. Or we half-heartedly apply a step. Have your parents ever tell you to do something and you kind of half-heartedly did it? You know, your parents tell you, take out the trash. You know what? And you half-heartedly take it out. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You kind of, you know, you ever pull the trash bag out and it leaks a little bit and you kind of make a trail? You didn't want to do it anyway, so you don't go back and clean it up. until mom and dad sees it, they make you. Or what I've seen some of my relative kids do is they don't even make it to the trash can or don't even make it to the polycart. You could look outside, what in the world? My little brother would hide things. Instead of what dad tells us to wash the dishes, I'd wash the dishes. I want to get out there. Back in those days, Saturday morning was important to me. I'd hurt, wash the dishes. And Dave, he would stick it in the sink or hide it underneath the sink or throw it in the trash can. You know, we always got caught. But we would skip steps, half-heartedly do things. Or we would blend a little bit of other ideas along with what God said to do. And it doesn't work. That's why I fell short of expressing the character of Christ in the moment that I needed it the most. What I learned is that to attain the success I'd like to have in my emotions, in my life, and in what I think about people, myself, and my career, or my whatever, is that this journey of Christ requires us to complete each step correctly. And there's only one way to do it, the way God said to do it. Steps towards success are only going to work if we follow the instructions all the way through. I've joked around before. Some of you don't know me, but hey, you want to make bread? I like bread. Hot. I mean, homemade hot bread with butter and coffee or tea, whatever. Tastes good. I like that. Slice it. There's a lady I used to know named Lola. She made the best homemade bread I ever seen. But she didn't like doing it all the time. So I want to learn how to make bread. Well, I'm an impatient person. So you can imagine, I made a whole kinds of different breads. One was a brick. Good paperweight. That thing never did mold or rot or anything. So I didn't. Well, the other bread looked like the Passover bread. It never rose. Took me a whole bunch of Tavana. I decided to follow the instructions, what she said to do. When I followed her instructions, that bread tasted like hers. It was good. But what I'm trying to teach you is share with you is that we've got to follow exactly what God says to do. We can't add our ideas into it. We can't add the world's ideas. I mean, hey, didn't we go to God because our ways are not working? Then why do we keep going back? It's like we're all nuts. Einstein said, doing the same thing over and over, that's a sign of craziness. The whole entire world's crazy. We keep doing the same thing, expecting a new thing, and it doesn't work. How does God change all these things in your life? You ever thought about that? What is it? What about God that's going to change in me? What is it that he could, what's that block that he could move out of the way so I can be the best version of me that he created? Well, one of the things is strength. Strength from the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit. Holy Spirit, in the inner person. What the Spirit will do for you and I if we will sit back and if we will actually go to God, I mean, in our heart, in our mind, and think about it. Look at his word. Absorb it. Embrace it. The Holy Spirit will do things within us that we can't even imagine how it will find a way. 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of any person the things which God has prepared for those who love him. First time I read that, I said, I don't know, God, because I can think about some things. I got imagination on me. Ask my wife. It's pretty broad. But God said, no matter what a human being can imagine, he's got something better. That must be awesome. How? How is he going to, the Holy Spirit can help me? Well, by teaching you and I, as we feed our minds, so you're going to have to do some spiritual eating. You know what I mean? It means you're going to have to get into the Word of God and read it. You're going to have to feed on it. You can't just read the Word of God like a novel. You know, you've got to learn it, study it, ask questions, go to those who know more than you, get some information.
Get it down inside you. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Spiritual principles from inside of from God's word, that transformation I'm talking about of truth, the Holy Spirit's going to work in your life. God's going to design experiences throughout your day that will help put it all together for you. Have you ever learned something in here? It's called, some people call it book smart. But when you go to put it in practice, it seemed like that was an easy concept, but man, it's just not going together right. But then when you finally learn how to do it right, oh, that's why I needed that part. Oh, that's why it's supposed to go like this. Oh, that makes sense. Have you ever had that happen to you? That's how the God will do for you. 1 Corinthians 2 and 13. These things we also speak not in words, which is man's wisdom, teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. God wants you to know how much sin actually is hurtful. He wants you to understand how sin, what it does to you. He wants you to understand it intellectually. He wants you to understand it emotionally. He wants you to understand it through experience. Have you ever slipped and said something hurtful? And you intellectually, you thought to yourself, that's going to hurt. That was hurtful. I didn't mean to say that. But then when you see the look on that person's face, how much they were hurt by what you said. Maybe you said something to your child without thinking, just emotional response. And the devastation in their eyes of how hurt they are. Or have you said that something hurtful to the one you love, a spouse, a friend, a mother, a father, whatever. And then the reflection in their face was just brokenness. That taught you something more than all the words being spoken to you about it, right? I remember my dad taught me this. He said, you know, you respect your mother. Treat her with respect because she deserves it in this. And we probably have all heard this. One day, I got angry at my mother. I don't remember what the topic was. And I said something pretty hurtful. So I knew that when my dad got home, I was going to get what they used to call a whooping. That's not the same thing as spanking. A whooping is not based on how many times it happens. It's how tired dad is or dad's going to get. Okay? So I knew I was sweating this. I knew I'm sitting in my bedroom, and I knew when he gets home, I'm probably not going to live to see graduation. And I'm sitting there, and I remember he came into my room, and I thought, okay, so I'm getting kind of tense physically because I know he's going to whoop me with the belt. So he sat down beside me instead, kind of freaked me out a little bit. You know, I thought, oh, great, he's using psychology. Or he's using, you know. So he's sitting there, and he didn't say nothing for a few minutes. So it got, you know how feels like you cut tension in the air? So my heart rate speeding up. I thought, when is he going to get on this? And he just looked at me and said, you let me down. And I'm ashamed of you. He got up. He walked out. I wish he would have whipped me. Because in that moment, that hurt much more. But what I realized was how much of what I did was hurtful. I never did it again. Because that experience, I realized what my words did. Not only did I hurt my mother, but it also hurt. My dad was so hurt. He was so disappointed. He just didn't have the energy to do anything except walk away. And that stuck with me to this day because I'm telling you the story. The Holy God will design. He doesn't bring hurt into your life. He doesn't cause problems. They're already there. But he will guide you as you go through them because he wants us to understand. He wants creation to recognize sin, which is doing less than the best of what you're created to be, will bring about hurt. But he wants you to relate to that hurt so you understand why it's not a good idea to do it. Why betraying those that you love? What it does to your family, to your heart, to the person you love, to the other families that might be involved. Sin has devastated this universe. It's devastated humanity. Adam and Eve had this sin of self-centeredness. What has it done for us thousands of years later? 8 billion people raping, killing, pillaging, war, starvation, chaos, mental illness run amok, physical destruction. This world's a mess. It's not a paradise. Started out a paradise. God will give you a new understanding. 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. And in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and the eternal life, that we can know that. This is talking about he wants to give us something that's new. He's not necessarily going to, you're not going to wake up and find everything around you perfect. You may still work at that really lousy job. You may wake up and look at your spouse and think they still need some work. Don't we think that? Or our children is not where we're supposed to be, or this and that. That's not how he's going to begin this exciting new thing he's going to give you. He's going to do something for you that can surpass everything, and that is this. He's going to give you a new perspective. See, when there's raining outside, a lot of rain, storm, God can either blow away the clouds or he can give you a really good umbrella. Well, either way, you're dry, right? But one way, you're dry no matter what you go, what you do, where you are, when you need it. A new perspective of things like bitterness, hurt, emotional ups and downs, everything around us. How is he going to give us this new perspective so we can handle anything? Colossians 3:10, if you put on the new man, person who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This is talking about God's going to give us something new, a new perspective through the knowledge in his scriptures. The Holy Spirit's going to help guide it and put it together so you and I can handle anything. There'll be no mountain. I don't need the mountain moved. I'm going to climb it. If I can handle any terrain, who cares about the terrain? Right? Up, down, sideways, whatever. The mountain is only an obstacle to those who can't get around it. Don't know how to get around it. Don't know how to climb. We can sit there and cry and boohoo around and ask God to move it, or we can say, you know what, let's just climb it. Yeah, let's do this. Come on. Through life is a battle. And those of you who don't think so, you haven't lived long enough. People used to tell me that, and I go, well, now I'm like, oh, they're right. Life is a battle, but what we need to understand is the battle is actually fought only in 6 inches of your life. No, seriously. That's about all you got. Now, some of us might have 7 inches, but you know the average of space is 6 inches. That's where the battle is, right here, between my ears, this mind. Fight. Think about it. It's between our thoughts. It's in our thoughts and our minds. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, which means even though I walk around in this body, we do not war according to the flesh. Physical fighting is not really the problem. All these wars and fighting and killing, this is just the expression of what's wrong between the 6 inches. Really, it is. People's minds are chaotic. People's minds are broken. People are hurt and suffering. That's why they lash out with their body. Their body's just a vehicle. It's the driver in the vehicle that's the problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, he gives us things like, cast down arguments. Now, you ever wonder, well, what does it mean, arguments? Well, a lot of times people read that and think they'll argue with people. No. Hey, you won't admit to it, but don't you have arguments with yourself? James, I had a few guys at work ask me what's wrong with me because I didn't know I was arguing. I was arguing myself about struggling with something. I didn't know that I was talking to myself. And they're like, man, what's wrong with you? I was like, what? And they go, who are you talking to? I was like, don't worry about it. I didn't realize I was making actions with my mouth and my hands, you know. I was a little bit embarrassed, you know. But they got used to it, so I don't have to worry about it so much anymore. Sometimes I'll argue with myself, and it gets so intense, it becomes a physical expression. You know. And that's the worst argument to get into, is because everywhere I go, there I am. Can't get away with that guy. But it's talking about in the scripture, I forgot to finish reading that. It's talking about arguments. It says, casting down these arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring it into captivity of the obedience of Christ. What I'm talking about is we will argue in our mind about some kind of circumstances between another person is where usually where it is. We're struggling with this, our conversation or something we didn't like. The Bible says you should, instead of arguing yourself, go to the Word of God and think about the things it tells you to think about. But we don't do that. Our perspective is narrow. That's why we make poor decisions. Christ wants you to step back and use what He created you. We have a spiritual and mental capacity for a really broad perspective. We're capable of it. But we walk around looking through an eyeglass with an eye closed. And the eyeglass is so small. That's all we see. That's all we focus on. We lock the door to our prison by being discouraged with self. We will say something, do something, or we don't accomplish something, whether it be word, deed, whatever. And we will lock that door in the prison by being discouraged. When the Bible tells us, hey, be merciful on yourself. Give yourself grace. We are a criminal and we're also a victim. What I mean by that is that you have been hurt. And then you lash out, right? But have mercy on yourself. Forgive yourself. You're on a learning journey. Of course, you're not where you should be because you're on the journey to get there. We need to exchange our values for Christ's values. Why do I say this? Because, you know, values are your influencers. They influence you. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. You have some examples here. Jesus says, hey, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Because it says, after all these things the Gentile seeks. Now, the word Gentile is for anybody that's not a Christian, what we call them these days. For your heavenly Father knows you need these things. But first, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First, seek how to think right. How to take on God's character. Think about those things first. Let God take care of yourself, of all these other needs. Colossians 3 and 1 through 3. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. That's talking about his power. Set your mind. You notice it says set your mind, didn't say God's going to set your mind. It says you do it. You focus your mind on the things that are more important, things of real value is what this is talking about. Understand, to do that, you got to understand what is your values. Have you ever thought about that? When I first heard it, I thought, well, what's my values? How do I figure that out? Well, there's a couple easy ways. One is, whenever I respond to someone or something, do I do it because of how I feel about it or how it affected me? If I did, then that's the wrong value. Because it's based on self-interest. And self-interest will always betray everything for self to get ahead. We get bothered by a noise in the other room. You know why you get bothered by a noise in another room? Because it's bothering your self-interest of peace and quiet. It's not really because, it's in the best interest of the other person to be quiet. No, that's not what we do. You know, we do it because they're irritating us. Self-interest. We need to learn from what God will teach us how to deal with these forces that disrupt our lives. There's forces that disrupt our lives. I'm going to tell you, hey, it's Satan. It's his armies. Dad used to call them, imps? I don't even know what that is, but. Yeah, he also said imps. I thought, what in the world is an imp? But anyway, whatever that is, it must be bad. It's Satan, his helpers, and his paradigm that's woven throughout our society. It works against us every day. God tells us to put on the whole armor of God that he has provided. Ephesians 6 and 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you can do what? That you can stand against those what? All it says wiles, but it's talking about all these things that Satan plans for your life. Satan sets up your life. He doesn't want you to succeed. But if you're going to be able to withstand them, to resist, to get through them and learn, you've got to put on all of God's armor. Man, we don't do it. God tells you, I already said that, sorry. You can't use the value system of the world and mix it with God's. Have you ever drank oil and water? Isn't that nasty? No, am I the only one that doesn't do goofy things like that? I'll be like, well, that is so. I mean, I take olive oil olive oil for my health. And, I try to find things to stir it up in so I can swallow it because, I'm a little bit of a wimp taking it just like that. Don't taste, it's real hard to get that slimy stuff down your throat. So I've tried water, and that was the worst thing in the world. Don't ever try water. Because it doesn't mix. Now, I tried this. I tried to stir it up so fast that I tried to drink it before the water and the oil separate. I've never been fast enough. And it gives you this really feeling inside, right? Well, that's the way this is. Spirit and self, they don't mix. Why? Because the spirit is focused on God's will and self is focused on self's will. And they're trying to go in different directions. 1 John 2 and 15 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We need to drive this home to ourselves. Because see, Jesus tells us, hey, you need to get rid of self. In Galatians 5 and 24. Those who are of Christ. Now, people say, I'm a Christian. Really? Because here it says, if you are, you've crucified that self with the passions and its desires. What is that talking about? Actively make decisions that are the opposite of your self-interest. Start with small things, like you want the last word? Don't do it. Some people, it's hard not to get the last, make the last, some, you're in an argument. You ever been in an argument with the one you love or the spouse, whatever, and you just got to get that last word because you don't want them to give one up on you? Well, next time, don't do it. Just go, swallow it. Or you ever just want that last bite? You ever had some really good food? I don't know what it is for you, pizza. I like all kinds of food, so I can name anything. And something about the first bite and the last bite is my favorite. Throw the last bite away. Or give it to your spouse. Or your child. Now, if we're all being honest and you're on a date with your spouse, have you ever had that last bite? And you're like, would you like to have this? And he said, would you like to have that? You're hoping neither one of you will take it. Because you can have it, you know. No, go ahead and make them take it. Or do something unthinkable. Go throw it in the trash. I've done that. You know how hard that was? I thought I was going to have a panic attack throwing away that last bite of pizza. I dropped it on the floor anyway, trying to get to the trash can. But and if I, you know, and this kind of things I'm doing for myself, like if I want to lose weight, before I have a chance to fight with myself, I'll just throw it on the floor. Because I guarantee you, I'm not going to pick that up. I don't care how bad I want it. That thing's going in the trash. Once I dropped it, that's it. Because I got standards. But just, you know, do something that's hard, simple little things. You feel down on yourself, I want you to walk around the rest of the day. If you feel really down, compliment yourself. Do it. It's hard, but do it. You're just like, I feel down today, but boy, I just love Jesus. You know, I thank God for his grace. Oh, I'm, you know, I don't know, whatever it is you can do, compliment yourself, you know. Whatever it is. Compliment yourself when you feel down on yourself. I'm getting almost to the end here. Learn the principles of God you can find in the scriptures and just do the best you can. You know, do the best you can. 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, which is talking about teaching, to reprove, to correct, for instruction in righteousness. Don't use tools like your opinion. See, we forget that opinions are based on what? Lack of facts. That's what opinion means. Because if it was facts, it wouldn't be opinion. Right? But what do we do with opinions? We treat them like they're facts. Well, in my opinion, I saw you do that. But the funny thing is, one thing that God taught me about myself, about opinions that we all do, and is we will burn the castle down for our opinions. But then we forget, we change our opinions all the time. My wife and I will go to these restaurants or whatever they are, and this doesn't happen. This, now remember, we've been married 33 years, so there's a lot of time in between these experiences. But whenever we would go to a restaurant, I'll go, well, this is my favorite restaurant. Man, that was my opinion, right? Next week, found something better. Well, this is my favorite opinion. She goes, I thought you said you liked that over there. Well, it was. Then I realized God started teaching me that, you know what? Why are you defending your opinion? You change it all the time. Don't use these tools. Don't use opinion. Don't go by how you feel to determine how you're going to respond. Because if we go by that, these two things I'm talking about, you're going to fail almost every time. Or I shouldn't say almost. You will fail inevitably every time. You need to have a strong, dependable foundation in God's Word. You need to get into God's Word and compare your thought, your attitude, and your behavior. We always had those little things we wear. Remember back when it was popular, what would Jesus do? You know why it's not popular? Because nothing we do is what Jesus would do. That's why it fell out of favor. Because once we start, I think what happened was us Christians start realizing, you know, I don't think Jesus is going to do any of these things. Yeah, this stopped selling that. Because it's too much of a reflection of where I'm not. No, we need to compare our thoughts and attitudes to the Bible. And when it doesn't line up, make a decision to go again, to do something the opposite. Now, I'm not telling you your emotions are going to agree. Your emotions have been conditioned to help you fail. So it's going to squirm, scream, holler, resist. It's okay. You know, it's okay that it doesn't like it. God has given us a measure of himself. Ephesians 4:16. Marcia read this earlier. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by whatever joint supply, if according to the effect in the working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of the body of Christ. These gifts that God has given each person are important because there is a way that God ministers to you, okay? He has reserved that for one avenue,
It's a person to your left and it's a person to your right. It's a person behind you, in front of you. The body of Christ, he has reserved that avenue to minister to you through them, to you. And when you don't let that happen, you're missing out. To be your best, you need this avenue for God to minister to you. You need to let God use those vessels. Or there's going to be a part of you that's always going to be weak. Stop focusing on the vessel. You know what I mean by that? That means, well, you know, the person, you know, I can't stand this, you know, like we don't want this person ministering to us because they do things that irritate us or we don't like what they're saying or whatever. You know, you ever had someone get up and talk, say something scriptural, and then you keep thinking about all the things, the kind of person they actually are or you think they are? Well, I know they're a hypocrite. I seen them at work. What are you smiling for, Brent? No. He's looking at me. No. He's smiling and looking at me. No. Instead of looking at what they're did what they say is even true. Well, they read a scripture, it's gotta be true. We focus on the vessel instead of the message that God's trying to communicate to you. Think about it. Think about this for a minute as I'm closing. How many people have seen a really, really cute kid, child, whatever, or your own child? Because cute is perspective. And we used to get, I wish I had a video up, but I remember Elijah and all them used to get up here about this tall, and they would sing, and man, they all, you know, we had A, B, C, D, F, G keys going on. You get my drift? Every kid was singing their own key. And I looked at people's faces, and nobody had a negative look on their face. We were like, man, those kids are just so cute. I heard that all over the place, you know, and all those tough guys are going, yeah, they're kind of cute, aren't they? You know, we just kind of thought that was so neat. The kids, or a kids do some kind of activity and they can't do it quite right, but you kind of chuckle a little bit because it's cute that they're trying. We've all felt that way, right? Now, are we excited about their failure? No, we're excited about their potential future. See, when we see those kids up here singing out of off key, we're not seeing lousy singers. We're seeing, oh, man, they're going to do something awesome for God. They're probably going to be great singers. They're going to do this for God. You're thinking of the future, right? So why is it that we'll do that to a little kid, but when we look at an adult who is trying to learn how to live the life of Christ and our attitude is, hypocrite, you didn't do that, right? You missed two Sundays. I got it written down. You were late. You had a bad attitude. We're critical of adults. Did you know that we're in God's eyes, everybody's a child, no matter how old you get, because we're nobody's old as he is. No matter how smart you get, you're not smart as God. You ever had a little kid think he knows everything? You have a teenager thinks they know everything? And then they tell you something, and they argue with you, and you kind of laugh. So fine, go ahead, throw that brick up in the air and stand there. You'll get it. You'll figure out why I don't do it. But we will criticize other adults who are just trying to learn. They're on the journey. We need to change the way we perceive people. Start seeing them as kids. And the reason why we're critical of an adult who's in Christ on that journey is because we aren't focused on their potential of their journey. We're looking at them from the end of their journey. In other words, instead of looking at that person, they're on their way, we're looking at them as how come they ain't there? The reason why most relationships struggle, whether it be spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, kids, parents, mother, whatever, is because we treat each other where we wish each other was instead of treating each other where each other are or is, whatever the proper English is. This is not the place to come for English lessons. We respond to each other where we wish the other person was at instead of saying, you know what, they're not there and that's okay. I'm going to support them. I'm going to encourage them until they get there. Just like we do children. So as we close, as I leave you with this, your new beginning is a journey. Give yourself a break. Eject
All your old life. Get that out of you. Let it go. God can change your life no matter the obstacles with the new perspective if you'll take it on. God bless you. Can't wait to see you guys next week at 11 a.m.